Hey, this week on the Dad.io podcast, we're going to be talking about smart appliances and some of the more expensive items. And this is an extension of our home automation month where we have an extra episode for the first episode in July.
That's right. We kind of didn't realize how many Fridays were in June, and we planned this one out. They didn't really have a June Friday to stick it into. So consider this a bonus episode, a leftover from June home automation month. And we'll get into that right now on the Dad.io podcast. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are two guys navigating fatherhood in a digital society.
Life supplies the inputs.
And we supply the outputs. All right, and we are back. It's July, Andrew. We've made it halfway through this year somehow. It does not seem possible.
Yes, I do not know how we've already been doing this for... This is our 18th episode.
Yes, it's crazy.
This is going a lot quicker than I thought.
June Home Automation Month was a huge success for us. We want to take a quick moment just to say thank you to everyone who's been supporting us and all of our new listeners that we've brought on board with last month's episodes. It was, to me, it was a far huger success than what I expected it was going to be. We had some really huge numbers from those episodes, and we really cannot say thank you enough for everyone who's been supporting us and everyone who's been listening.
Yes, thank you, everybody. We've been blown away by the amount of listeners we've been seeing on a daily basis here.
Yeah, just the amount of support you guys have given to us has been absolutely mind-boggling for just us doing this in our spare time for something fun. And obviously, this is a passion of ours, and we like to share that with you and share some of our experiences and some of our input and our knowledge on these topics and on these appliances that we're going to be taking a look at today. Smart appliances is a growing ecosystem and a growing environment for the smart home enthusiast. However, a lot of these things start getting pricey pretty darn quick. So today's episode is definitely going to be the most price inhibitive devices that we talk about in relation to doing a smart home.
Yes. Have you seen anything that is worth upgrading your existing appliances for?
So I probably fall into the category of most people here that if it's not broke, as far as appliances go, if it ain't broke, I'm usually not going to be in the market for a new version of it. But I think that that's why it's important to consider the fact that when you're talking about appliances, these are things that you're using on a daily basis usually. And generally speaking, you're going to get your money out of whatever it is that you purchase as far as appliances go. When was the last time that you bought a refrigerator? When was the last time that you bought a washer or a dryer? It's not really a thing that you upgrade. Generally speaking, it's a thing that you purchase when your other one, you know, kicks the curb, basically.
With all of these and everything in this category, I haven't seen anything that's worth like upgrading and getting something new. But if you're in the market for it, there's some exciting things that you should look for.
Exactly. And I think that it's important to consider future-proofing a little bit because a lot of these things are cool now. And I obviously we're going to bring up some things that for most people they would see the advantage or they would see the incentive to having certain feature sets as far as, you know, home automation things go. There are advantages that come along with that, but this is stuff that is going to be useful in the future too. A lot of these things are not necessarily technology that's going to be deprecated in a few years or anything like that. When you consider the lifespan of a refrigerator, a washer, dryer, what, more or less 10 years, I think is a good lifespan for a kind of household appliance like that. If you get beyond 10 years, more power to you. You did, you know, you've maintained it, you've taken care of it. But generally speaking, a lot of stuff, the lifespan is roughly a decade. I think that's a fair way to look at it.
Yeah, I'm going to knock on wood right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my washer and dryer is about 10 years old, so.
We just replaced our washer a couple months ago. I did not break down and get a smart washing machine. However, we're going to take a look at some of the cool features that maybe I should have taken into consideration. However, I just couldn't pull the trigger because the price difference between like a higher-end washing machine, like what we got, and a higher-end washing machine that has smart home features, it's a pretty significant jump, on at least for the models that I was looking at. And then we also, our dryer, about 2 months after we got our new washing machine, decided that it was going to start acting up. However, I was able to dig deep into my handyman bag of tricks and replace a, I don't even know what I did. I looked on YouTube. It's some part. It's like a pulley, something with the belt, puts tension on the, I don't know. It's a tensioner for the, I don't know, dryer belt. I fixed it. It works. I didn't explode. So there's that.
Yeah, I'm looking at doing a similar thing with my stove because it's only 5 years old and I don't want to break down and get a whole new stove. But the touch script panel is like half working.
Would that under warranty? When 5 years doesn't seem like that's very long.
I'll say most appliances, I think, only have like a 1 or 2 year warranty now.
That's true. That's very true. I mean, our washing machine only had a 1 year like full warranty. And then after that, I think you got like a 2 year manufacturer warranty on it or something like that. You know what I will say too, I'll throw this out here because we never touched on this when we talked about some of the other electronic stuff for Home Automation Month. As far as extended warranties go, I'm a firm believer that I don't usually purchase those, except when it comes to appliances, because it's such a large purchase, I will pay an extra $150, $200 to get that extended warranty, depending on what it covers. If it's going to cover, mechanical parts and labor, I think it's worth it. Some of these other devices, I don't know if it's just straight like an electronic thing. I don't know that it's really worth breaking down and getting those extended warranties. I don't know what your thought is on that. We've never talked about it, but I do think it's worth bringing up in this case.
Yeah, I don't get extended warranties. The only thing that I've got an extended warranty on or an extra thing is AppleCare on my phone, because it's a mobile device. I'm going to drop it and break it.
And you did.
I did drop it and break it. And that significantly brought down the cost of getting a new screen replaced on it.
Okay. And I agree with that one, that when I said I don't usually buy these for electronics, I will say that I've always carried the extra insurance on our mobile phone. When we switched over to Apple, I got the AppleCare. I think it's very reasonably priced for what it covers. So that's a little bit different, because that's something in the same vein as an appliance. You're using it every day. It's getting a lot of wear and tear. It's going to break down. So to me, I guess I can justify it. If I'm already spending, $1,000 or $1,200 on a new washing machine or dryer or something like that, I don't think it's too big of a stretch to spend a couple $100 to get the extended warranty. But I stress it depends on what it covers. If it's giving you additional coverage on some of those mechanical parts, I think that you can justify spending the extra money to cover those things.
Yeah, I am the opposite there. I don't get extra warranties on my products because 9 times out of 10, they're only lasting 5 years max for an extended warranty. And by then, it's going to break down after like 6 years. So it doesn't seem like it's worth it to me.
To each their own, I suppose. I think that there is a
debate here.
There's an argument either. To be honest, and I agree with you. I don't think that you're crazy or anything for not doing it. I think that there's an argument whichever direction you go with it, because there's a certain type of person, like what you said, that you get the extended warranty and then the thing's going to end up breaking down the day after the extended warranty would end anyway. And there's truth to that, a lot of these things are just kind of rated for a certain, lifespan, and those warranties are going to expire before that full lifespan is up, because they do want you to buy a new one at some point. Nobody really manufactures this stuff anymore to last forever. That's not good. It's not good marketing for them. Yeah,
I think the term there, it's not made like it's used to, is universal for almost everything nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, especially when you're putting a bunch of additional electronic parts into these devices and into these appliances, that stuff is going to have a shelf life that's a little bit lower, because electronic stuff is just moving so quickly that basically by the time that you get that thing home and you plug it in, it's basically outdated more or less. And I think that that's a good segue into one of the first items that we wanted to look at, which were smart refrigerators, because this is an interesting thing, because I have so many conflicting thoughts on smart refrigerators. And what we're referring to, Samsung is probably the most notable brand in this area.
LG's coming out with some refrigerators with this that they're working on.
And that doesn't surprise me, because again, Samsung and LG, they're two of the bigger cell phone manufacturers, so they know how to do screens really well. And that's kind of one of the big selling features of these smart refrigerators, is they have these big, gorgeous LCD touchscreens on them that basically give you a home hub more or less on your refrigerator. it's kind of this weird thing. Like when we got a new refrigerator a few years ago, we didn't get a smart refrigerator. But you know, you can't put magnets on them anymore. Like we got a stainless steel refrigerator on the front. So it's not magnetic. It is on the sides, but it's not on the front. And so if you're that person that wants to hang up, you know, your kids' artwork, or you want to put reminders and that kind of stuff, you don't have a place to do that anymore. And I think that Samsung and LG and some of these other brands that are doing this realize that, hey, you know, we don't really make them magnetic anymore in the front, because generally a lot of times they're even plastic now on the fronts. So by putting this LCD screen in there, you can do a lot of those things. You can keep a calendar, you can keep, you know, artwork or send pictures and stuff to it. It's cool. And the big selling feature to this as well is that usually they're decked out with cameras on the inside. So if you're at the grocery store, you could pull up on your phone and see what's inside your refrigerator.
Yeah, see, those are some good features. I'm just a little reluctant because I know a lot of the times with the Samsung smartphones and the Android phones that they don't update the operating system that much. So I am leery that 3 years down the road, is the operating system that's running a lot of the smarts, is it going to be updated, or is it just going to be outdated and kind of like...
So here's the thing, because I agree with you, and obviously you're absolutely right. I don't see Samsung or LG really pumping a lot of money into keeping their refrigerator operating system to the newest, shiniest version of Android. And coming from someone who has been a fan of Android for a very long time, that is one of the bigger complaints that a lot of people have, is that when you buy a device from a certain manufacturer, you're kind of locked into whatever their update schedule is, and it usually trails several months or years behind the official Google update calendar or release schedule for the official Android operating system. Now, that being said, I don't know what kind of things that you would really want to upgrade in an operating system that's running on your refrigerator, to be honest. As long as, you know, the base operating system is able to run the camera app or able to run the calendar app and those sort of things, I don't know that there's really going to be any big feature that comes out in the operating system side that would be a make or break for your refrigerator. So I guess there's that argument.
Yeah, but there's also a lot of security vulnerabilities that might pop up in like the core operating system. And then there's also like if the services, like the core programming behind the services change, and then it won't be able to tie into the calendar anymore or whatever. That's the stuff that it's like, okay, like it's nice now, but I don't want to become so reliant on some of this in my refrigerator and it just stop working, because there's multiple products that have had this same thing happen before.
And that's very true. And even though that sounds like a crazy conversation to have, because again, we're talking about a refrigerator, we're not talking about a cell phone or a tablet or something. It's a refrigerator. It's a weird conversation to have, but it is true, because again, when we look at the lifespan being for a refrigerator, I think it's very safe to say a decade. If you get 10 years out of a refrigerator, that's, I feel like that's a pretty good runtime.
I mean, you should be able to get 15 to 20, I think, out of a lot of these, and just what the technology 20 years ago was, it's kind of amazing. And could you really see having a smartphone from 10 years ago on your refrigerator?
And that's the point that I was about to make. So I'm glad that you said that, because that's absolutely true. And that is one thing to consider with these. The technology is very cool. There are some other ways to implement the camera systems that are in these. You can get external external cameras that you can install in a standard refrigerator that can do the same thing. These things do exist. And honestly, I almost wonder if you couldn't rig up some sort of system with like the Wyze cams that we had talked about a couple weeks ago to do kind of the same thing for as cheap as they are. And the cords are super, super thin on the ribbon that for the USB, the way it powers. I feel like you could probably rig this up fairly intuitively yourself. And I'm almost tempted to like experiment with that.
I mean, when it comes to a lot of this smart technology, I'm with the aspect, I want to do as little work as possible. So that's a pretty decent idea, but I don't know if I'd want to be able to spend half a day just trying that out.
I would be the opposite. I would like the thrill of the hunt in that situation, the thrill of just tinkering until I figured out a way to make it work. That does excite me just a little bit, even though, truth be told, I want to know how many people, if they have this type of refrigerator, how many people, when you're in the grocery store, are you actually pulling it up and then you know, not like cursing yourself when you realize like you left the milk jug right in front of the camera or something to where it's blocking the stuff behind it. It's one of those cool things in theory, but I feel like in practice, it's probably not all that practical. And I think that the other argument too is you're probably, you know, you're using a lot of data and stuff to get a live stream of your refrigerator. Or I mean, if it's taking pictures, it's probably not that bad, but a lot of these ones have like a live stream basically of what's going on in your refrigerator. It's cool. I'm not really a fan of this, though. I'll put it that way. I mean, if I had it, I'd probably think it was pretty fascinating for a few days. But outside of that, I don't know that the practicality of it is really there. And like we've discussed, I don't really want a cell phone from 10 years ago. So I don't know like how thrilled I'm going to be, you know, a decade down the road. The fact that the cell phone basically that's built into my refrigerator is still looking pretty old and run down at that point.
I mean, they do have some decent minor features that if you're going to spend the money and if you are looking to upgrade, aren't bad. Like I was looking at LG, they have their SmartThink is what they brand all their smart appliances. With the refrigerator, it'll let you know if the door's open. You can set it to vacation mode from your phone. You can also turn the ice maker on to make sure while you're out, you get have enough ice made for your party you're having.
And I think that that's pretty cool. Now, as far as, and you know what would be better though? So, because you looked into this one, it has an alert that will tell you if the door was left open. Can it shut the door? I feel like that's a pretty basic thing that it, that they could have built into this, but I bet they didn't. Did you notice that at all?
No, I don't think it did, but that stuff's coming down the road.
Because to me, that would be the more practical use for this. If it could tell me the door was closed, and again, going back to that, I know it's lazy, but if it's practical, it's worth it. If I could push a button, it would just be like, you know what, Ryan, I got this. I'm going to go ahead and close your refrigerator door for you because you were so hungry. You went and got in it and you left the door open.
Yeah. And you can use your cameras to see if maybe there's anything obstructing the door so you won't like blow out a motor or whatever.
Not be kind of smart that, like that. But before you even get up, you could pull up the camera to see if there's even anything good in the refrigerator to begin with. Save yourself those steps.
I remember when I was a kid and I was hungry, I would always open up the refrigerator
and just stood there
looking. It's like my mom said, was there anything new in there from like 10 minutes ago?
Nah, but it was always fun.
I mean, but now you could leave the door shut and have your kid just stare at it from his phone. Like, what do I want to get?
I feel like that might be just as annoying as a parent too, to have your kid like pulling up on their tablet. Like, man, I don't want to walk to the refrigerator. I think it's cool for me, but I feel like as a parent, I'd be frustrated if I looked down and my kid's laying on the floor like looking at what's in the refrigerator or something, like it's some sort of entertainment for them. I'd be frustrated by that. So this stuff, again, it's cool. There are those additional little features. I think the ice maker one is pretty neat, you know, especially like if you're having a party or something and you don't want to have to buy a bag of ice, that you could tell it to go ahead and make you like a couple extra pounds of ice. That's cool. That's practical. I think the door thing is practical, although I don't know if it's really any different than the alerts that pretty much any refrigerator nowadays has, that it'll beep at you or have a chime or something that goes off if the door is left open for so many seconds. I don't know. There's really like, that's not really a big difference that it comes up on your phone or not. And not only that, but I don't know how many people or how common it is that you leave the refrigerator door open and would like leave your house or something. You know what I mean? I don't know that that's a common thing that we really need to like, you know, be proving ourselves for.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about some washing machines and dryers and dishwashers. But I think when it comes to like some of this technology that we're talking about, it's only in like the second generation because this stuff is still
very new. Yes, you are absolutely right. And I'm glad that you brought up the dishwasher because I have an LG dishwasher that has SmartThink built into it. And I want to say this was probably a first or second generation version that I have. And my dishwasher is not a super high-end one by any means. It's kind of right in the middle. I want to say we actually paid $400 for it, but it was a more expensive dishwasher because when we ordered it from Home Depot, the one that we ordered did not have this stuff on it. And they called us and were like, hey, that one that you wanted is out of stock. Do you want the next model up? Well, sure. It's like $400 more expensive, but I'll take it for the same price. And then when it got here and after I installed it and didn't even really think, you know, anything of it, because I didn't even know this really was a thing yet, I noticed that it had a Wi-Fi signal on it and started looking into it and was like, holy cow, I can put my dishwasher on my Wi-Fi network. The possibilities are endless. And then I did it. And it's dumb. And it's fairly useless.
Yeah, I forget what exactly it does. Does it only just give you a notification when it's done?
It gives me a notification when the dishwasher turns off. It will now. I will say it is kind of cool that you can pull it up while a cycle is running. It will tell you how long the cycle has to run. And it has an alert that tells you when you need to put in new rinse aid for the three people in the universe who actually use rinse aid in their dishwasher. I don't believe that these people actually exist, because I've done it like with the sample they give you when you buy a new one. I've never bought rinse aid. I refuse to believe that this is a thing that people do.
I use rinse aid.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe that's a big feature. Maybe you would be super stoked to know when you had to change your rinse aid.
I mean, there really is no good way to tell until you get the little like light that's flashing. Like, okay.
I don't, maybe my water has never been hard enough to worry about it or something. Cause isn't that, I don't know. Okay. We're not going to get into a discussion about rinse aid right now. Anyway, so that's really like the only smart features that this particular model has. And I couldn't tell you the model number. It's 2 years old at this point.
Well, I did look into this cause I was curious what the newer 2018 models are. And with LG, you can start and stop your washing cycle, and you can get your notifications and let you know what's going on.
And that's cool. And if that had been the goal from the start, I could be on board with this. So it looks like all of their models nowadays have this, except for like the very, very low end ones. Basically any mid-tier to upper tier dishwashing machine is going to have this technology built into it. The fact that I could put, you know, my detergent in it and I could have it prepped, ready to go, it's shut. And when I'm at work or something, say, you know what, I want to schedule it to start at a certain time. That is cooler to me. I like that idea that I can leave the soap in there. And, you know, let's say that
you want to make sure your dishes are done for when you get home so you can just use them for instead of dirtying up something else.
And obviously there's the argument of, well, why don't you just start it before you leave for work or something? Sure. I think that there are use cases, though, where it would be advantageous to be able to go ahead and start it when you're away. You know, the big one that comes to mind for me is like when we would leave for vacation or something like that. Usually we would load the dishwasher before we left for vacation. And let's say we forgot to turn it on before we left. And, you know, I'm sure we've all been in that place where this has happened. You've gone away from your house for a couple of days and you left dishes in the dishwasher and they start smelling pretty funky by day three or four.
So, I mean, with some of our dishes, it's smelling funky about 6 hours later.
That's very true, especially when you have kids. I mean, when we have one child and we probably run our dishwasher every other day. I don't know how it is in your house, but we dirty enough dishes between us and the babysitter and the little one. We're running that dishwasher at least every other day. And I will say that for the LG, it is super quiet and it has very low water usage because it's high efficiency. So I don't feel terrible about running it because I don't feel like I'm doing too much damage to the environment or anything like that. And it's super quiet. I mean, I can run that thing and where it's in an open concept in our living room, kitchen, it's kind of the same area. And if I'm sitting in the living room, I cannot hear that thing. It is super, super quiet. So I will give them props there that it's a very quiet dishwasher. But the older model, the smart technology might as well have not really been there because it just kind of feels like they threw it in there as an extra and didn't really think out like what the possibilities could be.
Yeah, I think this stuff is changing every year. So if this is just something that's interesting, check and see what the latest technology is, because maybe in the 2019 models, LG will make it so the door closes on the refrigerators.
That's... And what I want out of the dishwasher, here's the feature that I want in the future. And maybe somebody already has this.
For it to load itself.
I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we're going to get to like Jetsons technology level yet. Maybe by like 2025, we'll have Jetson robots. However, the feature I want to be able to like load a large amount of detergent like into it at one time. That way, if I could remote start it, I don't have to do anything extra. If it's closed, I can remote start it and it would just use the right amount of detergent. Because they all know, they have the little cup, they know how much you're like supposed to use. Why has no one thought of this yet to where like we could already have like a cartridge or something that you load up that cartridge with the detergent, you snap it in there and it's good for a month. Or it's good for, you know, like 10 loads or something like that.
I want to get a little retro. Like, I don't know if you remember this TV show, Home Improvement.
Oh, this is what I'm picturing in my head. They did that
with the washing machine.
And it was so cool. I still want to do that.
And I haven't looked at the washing machine technology here recently, and I don't know if they've implemented this shit yet.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that, because there is one that has done this. I did see one that has done something similar to this. But it's not quite the levels of Tim Allen, where he had the giant, gallon buckets above the washing machine. It would automatically pull. But then it always went wonky. But then in every episode after it went wonky, the one episode, like, it always worked really good, it looked like. So I feel like he got he got it down at some point, and I was very jealous, because that's genius. I want that for my dishwashing machine, because I feel like it's more relevant there almost than it is in the actual washing machine. And I can make an argument for that, but that's what I would like to see. And I did not see that anyone's really done that yet. LG is obviously not the only company that's doing this. Whirlpool has smart technology built into their stuff now. Samsung has smart technology built into their stuff. And it's all pretty much doing the same things at this point. I did not see that one model or one brand is really doing anything too space age crazy above and beyond what another brand is doing.
Yeah, I think they're doing the same thing. Like with the washing machines, it's going to give you a notification when it's done. You're going to be able to start and stop the wash cycles for dishwashers, washing machines. And I think the same would probably go for the dryers.
I think that there's a better argument to be had for wanting to know when your washer and dryer starts and stops. Unless there's somebody out there that's only doing like one or two loads a week. If you have a family, you're doing a lot of laundry. It's just, there's no way around it. You're going to have a lot of laundry, especially when kids get older and they're playing sports and stuff. You're going to have loads and loads and loads of laundry. And generally speaking, you want to know when one's done to get down there and switch it out and put the next one in. So having that system that it could alert you when one is done and the next one's ready to go in, I think that's a feature that a lot of people are going to be looking for in this kind of stuff. And it looks like that it's becoming commonplace now.
Any brand, you're going to be able to find a smart product in their product line.
Yes. And I think it's cool. I would be more excited about the washer and dryer. I do regret not spending the extra money and getting that when we just replaced our washer a couple months ago. The price jump, though, is pretty significant. The one that we got a Whirlpool Cabria washing machine, and only because we had the same brand before, and it lasted 10 years. And we liked the model. We've had good luck with it. We felt that, you know, once we kind of had locked into that previously, that we were okay buying another one in that kind of family, and we would be happy with it. And so far, I love this washing machine. However, if we wanted to take the next step up and get the Whirlpool that had the smart technology built into it, it was another $400 for the first baseline model that did not have as big of a drum as this one has. And that was a feature that we really wanted, was a deep drum.
That's a good reason to look at and to think about if you want to get a smart appliances. Like the other items we're talking about, I think most of that stuff was less than $500. Like if you're getting a whole, like retrofitting your whole house with smart lights,
yeah,
it's going to be less than $500.
Yeah.
Unless you have like a huge house with like 100 lights.
That and the energy savings, there's an argument to be made that you can always control, make sure the lights are off when you want them off. There's energy savings there. There are ways to justify it.
Yeah, but if you're getting an appliance, you're going to spend, I'm going to say upwards of $1,000 on some of the stuff.
I wouldn't even say upwards. I'm going to say that's kind of the baseline. You're going to be spending at least $1,000.
Yeah, I was thinking there's still some washing or dishwashers that are about $800 with the smart stuff is probably the low end there.
Yeah.
But the washer and dryers are going to be about $1,200 and up. And refrigerators, they're like $1,500 to $2,500 for a refrigerator.
And we actually have a mutual friend too who had posted on Facebook a couple months ago that they were at Goodwill and found a Samsung smart refrigerator. I think they got it for like $300 or something. It was like a scratch.
At least half off.
Yeah, it was like a significant savings. And in that case, I'm like, hey, you know what? If you found a good deal like that it's like dented on the side where it usually it's going to be behind a cabinet and you're not going to see it anyway. I mean, in that case, if you've got the money and you could justify like, hey, it's a good deal, that might be the way to do it, depending on what your personal preferences are go or, you know, kind of how you feel about those kind of things. But there, you can find deals on this stuff. It's a lot harder, but there are deals out there.
If you decide that you want some of these features, it's like a definite, like I need to have this feature where it will let me know when my washing machine's done. shop around, do what you need to do. We bought our appliances for our kitchen and we got a huge deal after Thanksgiving. I think that's one of the best times to buy them. Just shop around. But that's what you have to think is like, is this a live or die feature that I want 2 years down the road? Because you're going to live with this purchase for 10 to 15 minimum if you're getting a new appliance.
And the last thing that I'll throw out kind of about this stuff goes back to a topic that we discussed in our previous Home Automation Month series is a lot of this stuff goes back to an ecosystem too. And one thing to take into consideration is that if you're going to spend the money and you want to have all of your appliances decked out in smarts, one thing that does become beneficial is to choose a brand and stick to it. Because otherwise you're going to end up having multiple brands that are all going to have multiple apps that are all going to have different requirements and jumping back and forth to get to see kind of what different appliances are doing or what different brands of appliances are doing in your home. And that's going to become cumbersome.
I totally agree with that. Like currently all my appliances aren't smart. I'm trying to find ways to add the smarts to them, but I have Samsung in my kitchen and I have LG for my washer and dryer. And if I were to go and start getting smart appliances, I would make sure they're all the same brand.
Yes. You got to pick your team and stand behind them. All good things to take into consideration. We're kind of reaching a stopping point here. We did want to, kind of quickly mention, smart vacuum cleaners and smart lawnmowers, but I kind of think that we'll save that and we'll bring those up on a later episode and maybe visit some of those topics at a later time, because there's some really cool stuff. And I'll tell you, I hardcore want a smart lawnmower because they are so freaking cool. Again, right on the cusp of this technology actually becoming, it's not widespread, it's not common yet, but I think within the next few years, we're going to see stuff like that really take off, just like the smart vacuum cleaners did within the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, then it probably won't be too much longer. Like you said, we're going to have a Rosie from the Jetsons in all of our houses, and that's going to be a commonplace.
You know what, though? Rosie was pretty like condescending sometimes. I don't want a robot that's quite that condescending. I want my robot butler to be a little bit more subservient.
A lot of times, like Google is kind of sassy with me sometimes. Sometimes it seems that way.
Maybe it's just you, Andrew.
I don't know. There was a, this was just yesterday. I asked like, hey, turn off the lights. And I don't know what she said. It's like, I can't help you with this at the moment. And I was like, hey, Google, I don't care. Just figure it out and turn off the dining room lights.
You just set off every one of our listeners' Google, by the way. You said the terrible word. I'm going to leave it in there, though. It might be fun.
I did. So if I turned off your dining room lights, I'm sorry. But it was like, I can't help you with the first request. Turning off 3 lights in the dining room. I'm like, okay.
You're like, okay, you're just being a jerk now. So there you go. Smart appliances. That's kind of our leftover from Home Automation Month in June. And I think that we're at a good stopping point right now. So we're going to wrap this week up. We will be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. We don't know what the topic's going to be yet. We're going to decide. But why don't you reach out to us? Let us know what your thoughts are on home automation in general, smart appliances, or any of the things that we talked about last month. You can reach us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/datiopodcast. We're on Twitter at datiopodcast. My Twitter handle is datio_Ryan. Andrew's, yours is...
at Andrew Snedeker. And before it's too late, on Monday is Prime Day, July 16th.
And this was, we brought this up before, that this was kind of a good place to if you're going to get into home automation stuff, guarantee they're going to have good deals on Philips Hue. Guarantee they're probably going to have good deals on Nest.
Yeah, be sure to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. I'm pretty sure we're going to be sharing some of our picks that we find and let you know about all those deals.
Yes, we'll let you know how poor we are by the end of Amazon Prime Day. So yes, definitely check that out. Check out the website too. Andrew, what's the website?
datiopodcast.com. And that'll have all of our contact information if we said that a little too quick for you. And before we forget, like and share our podcast, rate it.
Absolutely. Let us know what you think. What can we do better? And again, join the conversation. Let us know what topics you want to hear us discuss in the future. So for this week, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Andrew.
Have a lovely week.